time now for Swiss Up with Dario. Hello, Dario.
Hello, Mark.
Now, Dario, today on Swiss Up, we're going to take a look back at the votes over the weekend. Of course, last week we were looking ahead to them. Now we'll look back at them and look at the results. So let's take a look at, obviously, the first one, the big one, Dario, the burqa ban. Yes. So that passed.
It passed, yes. As most people probably know by now, this popular initiative was accepted by a short majority of the voting population. 51.2% were in fact in favor of the ban. Only voters in the cantons of Zurich, Geneva, Basel, City, Bern, and Graubünden probably because of Davos and St. Moritz and other tourist destinations, voted against the burqa ban. But in the end, it wasn't enough to tip the balance. There is now a constitutional article banning the burqa and other face coverings from being worn in public in Switzerland. The cantons have now 2 years to translate that constitutional article into cantonal laws. They can be expected to work in some exceptions for the ban on face coverings in public, especially to accommodate the tradition of carnival, which of course will continue to be celebrated across many Swiss cities with people wearing masks. So we can't expect this to be a problem for those people wearing masks during carnival.
Yeah, it just really goes to show, doesn't it, that, I mean, some people saying it's not about the burqa, it's all about football hooligans and things like that. No, it was about the burqa.
No, it is about the burqa, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's not fool ourselves.
No, we're not. Oh, wait, let's take a look at another close result. This was the free trade agreement with Indonesia, which sounds a little bit dull, but it's actually quite interesting on the grounds that it was the first time the voters have been asked to vote on a trade deal.
Yes, this was a premiere, and it was surprisingly close call, with only 51.7% of the voters accepting this free trade agreement. And it goes to show that the organizations such as Economie Suisse, which represent the Swiss business community, have an ever harder time winning votes against the environmental organizations, who have become very good at political campaigning in recent years. We have seen this effect last November when the population almost accepted the popular initiative for responsible businesses. The popular vote was actually won on this initiative. But the only reason the initiative finally was rejected is because it could not win the popular vote in a majority of cantons. But the popular vote was won across all the cantons, and this despite major economic interest groups throwing their entire weight behind the opposition of this proposal. The reason we see such close results with these kinds of initiatives in recent years is that a bigger part of the population has become more sensitive to environmental and human rights issues over the years.
Yeah, because, I mean, that Indonesia question was all about palm oil, wasn't it? And the fact that, you know, palm oil plantations taking over rainforests, which was tempting many people to vote against it.
So it was a bit of an economic interest versus environmental interest kind of vote.
Yes.
Too many.
Now, also, let's take a look at the last one, the electronic ID system. I mean, not only was that rejected, it was rejected massively.
This was rejected. This was a blow in the face. Not at all close, this one. 64.4% of the population refused the government's proposal to involve private sector companies in the issuing of electronic IDs to the population. Across the country, not a single canton's population voted in favor of that law.
Right. So what actually, let's say, galvanized the population against this so strongly?
Well, in the year of COVID, our lives have notably become much more digital overall. And this also meant that more people got sensitized to the importance of data protection in the digital space. So to a lot of voters, it just didn't feel right to have private sector companies be involved with the issuing of an official eID. They felt that this really is the state's domain and should remain so. But the rejection should not at all be interpreted as a rejection of the electronic ID as such. but rather as the rejection of how the government planned to introduce such an EID.
Yeah, so it's likely we're going to see this issue come back, aren't we? But this time with the government running the ID card system.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, now let's take a look at Geneva. There was a bit of a surprise here. This is all about the Pierre Mordet and him running as an independent. Did better than expected.
He did way better than expected. Remember, Genevans were called to the ballot to elect a new member of government to replace Pierre Mordet, who has resigned in December after a long-running political scandal. Turns out that Pierre Mordet got many more votes than expected. Many thought he was politically done, but he resurrected. Eight candidates wanted to take his seat in government. Out of the eight, he came in second. He was beat only by Fabian Fischer of the Green Party.
Okay, now this was a big surprise though, wasn't it?
Yes. So after his political scandals, which culminated in his resignation in December and a conviction for accepting an undue advantage last month, many thought he was politically done. But it turns out that there are still a lot of people out there supporting him and who think that he is actually the best candidate that was presented to them in this election. The best candidate, at least from the right side of the spectrum.
Okay, so there's now going to, because you say he came second, there's now going to be a second round on the 29th of March. So what happens there, do you think?
Well, if any right-wing party decides to maintain a candidate and they're deciding until Monday at noon, if any of them decides to bring forth another candidate, that's going to most likely divide the right-wing vote and path away for the Green Party candidate Fabian Fischer to win the seat in government. However, if Pierre Mordet turns out to be the only candidate right of center, it's going to be a really close call. So the political thriller in Geneva is not quite over yet.
Okay, well, we have to wait and see for that one, because that will be, I mean, if he actually does win that second round, that would be a political shock for a politician has been convicted of taking unwanted or gifts.
And it's going to give a lot of people in Switzerland give the side eye to Geneva, I would say.
Okay.
Because that would be a hard one to understand if you're not really familiar with Genevan politics.
Okay. Now, very briefly, Daryl, you know that I always like to look at these because we always concentrate on these big votes, as we have done just now. But I always quite like looking at some of the little quirky decisions that have been made across the country. So we've got a couple of examples, haven't we?
Yes, maybe a first one to talk about Geneva. That's not a very quirky one, but maybe a good news one. In Geneva, voters accepted a bill that will have 15 million Swiss francs be paid out in compensation for lost wages due to the corona pandemic. Now, you might think, well, that sounds usual and obvious in the year of the pandemic, but this 15 million Swiss francs is specifically for people such as undocumented immigrants who do not benefit from social security. Many of our listeners might remember the images of people in Geneva standing in line to collect food packages. Well, these 15 million Swiss francs would go to these people. The government and the parliament actually decided already back last year to have 15 million Swiss francs spent on the matter. But there was a referendum by the right-wing parties UDC and MCG in Geneva who launched referendum against these 15 million Swiss francs. Well, the population in Geneva does actually think that this is a just cause to also pay undocumented immigrants some money to get through the COVID crisis. So yeah, I think this is good news.
Yeah, no, it is, and I'm fully behind it. But it is actually quite interesting because this is money going to people who are effectively living in Geneva illegally.
Yes, but not all of them. Some of them have other reasons why they're not caught within the net of social security, standard social security. But yes, a big part of them will be people who are undocumented.
Okay. Do you have any other little quirky things there then, Dario?
Well, super quirky. Right. It's not super quirky, but the people in Zug have clearly approved the amendment to the tax law. They are going to lower the tax rates temporarily now because also of the COVID crisis context. Some cantons can't afford to lower their taxes and give their population a bit of a tax break during this tough year. Voters in Lucerne accepted the extension of a professional school at a cost of 400 million Swiss francs. Voters in Bern, I saw they voted for a new access path to the train station. Voters in Zurich, in a Zurich suburb, voted for a park that will cover part of a highway that cuts through their neighborhood. These are some of the quirky ones. And St. Moritz in Graubünden, the famous holiday destination St. Moritz, refused the right to vote to their foreign citizens. That was a proposal voted on there. So foreigners living in St. Moritz will still not be able to participate in local votes, even though some people thought that that would be a good idea.
It was a good idea, because I'm sort of assuming there's lots of foreigners in St. Moritz.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Okay, anyway, Dario, we shall leave it there. We ran out of time for that. Thank you very much indeed. That was Dario there with Swiss Up, taking a look at the weekend's votes. If you want to hear that episode again, you can always do so, of course, on our website, which, of course, is worldradio.ch/SwissUp.